You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
Andrew McCarr, IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. And I've got to say, I'm over the moon, and my usual catchphrase, delighted to be joined by Kieran Farrell. Kieran, first and foremost, how's things, mate? I want to tell you the reason why I wanted to get you and do an interview with you, but first and foremost, how's life? How are you getting on?
Yeah, hey, you know what? I'll be honest, I'm flying at the minute. Everything's good. You know, everything's good. I'm in full health. I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm just flying, mate. I'm just busier than ever. I've been trying to use the pandemic the best as I can to try and push myself out there and get my lads out there and get my fighters fighting, and that's what I've been doing.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on the channel and have a chat with you. But I kind of want to, I think you've got an interesting story, because for me, I've been a boxing fan for years, and I know your story and what's behind it. But new young kids that are coming through might not know who Kieran Farrell is. So you're an ex-professional fighter. You were undefeated in your English title fight with Anthony Crawler. But before we go into that, the final fight of your career, now just tell me about your professional career and the reason why you got into boxing as a kid.
Well, I'll be honest, I started boxing when I was 7 years old, Andy, and I just love the fight, you know what I mean? That's basically it. I love the fight. Boxing. I was in a gym with a mate, Cam, when I was 8 years old, and he was a bit older than me. He used to get in and jump about with us, and I started getting good and not actually knowing that I was getting good, you know what I mean? So then when I got to age 15 and I got dedicated, I went to Borussia Boxing Club, and I got really dedicated there, and I started beating everyone. I won my last 15 amateur fights. I beat Michael Conlon. I dropped him twice with body shots. I beat everyone, mate. And I won the junior ABAs. I boxed for England. And I think I stopped like 7 or 8 of my last 10 opponents. Then I was age 18 and I got overlooked for a competition for the internationals. And I thought, that's me. I'm going to turn pro. So then I turned pro, 114 on a bounce, dead quick, in quick succession. I was only a pro 3 years, and then they were fighting Anthony Crawler. It just turned age 22. So got in there, and I've got I'd do it all again, mate.
Well, let's talk about the Anthony Crawler fight. I mean, it was for the vacant English title back in the time, was it?
Yeah, you know what, mate? It was mad because, like, at the time, me and Anthony Crawler were fighting for the vacant English and Martin Geffen were fighting Ben Murphy for the vacant British. But the fight was me and Crawler should have been put forward for that British title, like, a bit more. But it is what it is. Like, it was for the English title. And it was a top fight. And you know what? It was war, mate. It was war.
Well, let's talk about it. It was a war, man. It went the distance and stuff like that. It was, when you normally get two Mancunians go at it, then you're probably dead. It's like when you get two Celtic fight, when you get an Irishman and a Scotsman, two people going at it. It's like the Manx and the Scousers and stuff like that. When you get two of your own going at it, there's nothing that's going to be a war. But going back to that fight itself, obviously that was the last fight of your career, but we will go into the injury and hopefully you can break that down for me. But yeah. When you were in the ring, how confident were you going up against somebody like Anthony Crawler going into that?
Oh, mate, I'll tell you no. Like I would have got in with Floyd Mayweather that night. It didn't matter to me. And I recently seen a video of Floyd Mayweather saying that if you're a fighter and you're in this room and you don't believe you're the best, you need to get out of the room or pat the boxing in because it's not for you. And I'll be honest, obviously I'd won a lot. Like since I got dedicated to boxing at age 15. I think I only got beat once when I was 16, and then after that, I never got beat again. I turned professional age 18, won 14 on a bounce. I just felt untouchable, and I didn't think I could fight. I could walk through everyone, and that's the truth. And Anthony Crawler was like my little stepping stone to bigger things. I was interviewed on Las Vegas radio shows, calling me the Brandon Rios of the UK, and I thought, mate, I'm going to walk through everyone. I'm just too big. I'm too strong. I'm going to knock everyone out, basically. And I was young, and I needed holding back, and I needed saying, look, chill out, just knock a few more bums over, if you will, and you will get there. But no one ever did that with me. So I just wanted to fight the best. I seen Mike Tyson, age 21, world champion. I thought, I need to be world champion, age 21. So I was age 21, Central Area champion, and ended up getting myself an English title fight with Crawler. And I'm thinking, mate, well, I'm going to take care of him. And then who's next? Derry Matthews, who's next? Ricky Burns, who could it be? You know what I mean? I wanted to fight everyone, mate.
But you were game as a pebble. You really were. Do you know what I mean? That's testament to I guess that's testament to where you are today as a manager and a promoter. Do you know what I mean? You work hard for your fight, and you know what I mean. And I've seen that. But I want to stay on the Crawler fight and stuff like that, because it was, you did suffer a horrific injury in that fight. But for you, was it difficult for you to, because you were bigged up to be the Brendan Rears for the UK, you wanted to be a world champion. Like, how difficult was for you? And I'd hope you don't mind me asking this question, but how difficult was to sort of like hang up the gloves at such a young age after the Crawler?
You know what, mate? I'll be honest. Like, it was, I'm not too sure now on the date of when Ricky Hatton had his last fight. I think, I'm sure it was November 2012. And like, I'm sure it was when he fought at Senchenko. I just felt like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of similarities. Obviously, I'm Ricky Hatton's friend, and he promoted me and managed me for a while and helped coach me. And I thought, I just can't hang him up. I just can't hang him up. You know what I mean? And I'll be deadly honest, like with all the people who are viewing this. I actually tried to apply for an Irish license a year later. I felt like I was all right, and it was Mel Crystal, and he said, look, Kieran, you've had a good career. You've had the horrific injury. I just couldn't see that. Why I couldn't box. I'm like, but I'm all right, though. You know what I mean? And that was just testament to my own fitness. I used to run 8 mile every day, and that's why I recovered so well. I was young, and I recovered quite rapidly. And I'll be honest. And when I look back at like 2013 now, obviously I fought Crawler December 7th, 2012. And then I was in intensive care for a couple of weeks, and then I come out, and then I just got Christmas through, and I couldn't walk for 8 weeks. I couldn't walk for 10 weeks. I was in my bed, I was bed bound. I was very slow, mate. And if I look back at interviews or anything from that day, I was slow. I was talking slow, and I've sped up a lot since, mate. You know what I mean? And there's no stopping me now. You know what I mean? Like you say, with the promoting and managing, that's what I'm doing now. I'm promoting, managing and coaching fighters. And, I just think the sky's the limit, and I've always had the same attitude. Like I said to the lads today who signed up, like, look, I want you to say you want to be a world champion. You need to have that ambition, because you, like I say, like it's like Floyd Mayweather said, you're in the wrong sport otherwise. You know what I mean? You need to want it to get to the top, and even if you fall short a little like I did, then at least you'll achieve quite a lot. You know what I mean? So you got to keep aiming to the top.
Definitely, mate. But you and Crawler are obviously good friends. I've spoken to Crawler on numerous occasions, and he sort of says that sort of thing, that night was one of the tough nights for him in boxing, hearing about and stuff like that. But you and Crawler, you're still best buddies and stuff like that to this day.
No, look, I'll be honest. So when I was 17, Andy Crawler was an unbeaten professional. He would have been 21, 22 then, so he's a few years older than me, Andy. He come to watch me fight, and I was buzzing, mate. He come to watch me at Everton Park in the Junior ABA National Finals, and I was buzzing. I was like, oh my God, Andy Crawler's come to watch me fight. And I actually won by knockout when I won the national title. It's Aaron Seldon in the second round, who was a schoolboy champion. And I was buzzing, mate, because then when obviously, it's like when you see like your Sasha Jonas and stuff like that about and Terry Harper's who are fighting, where they say, to turn your idols into your rivals.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like that. It was a little bit like that back in the day. You know, obviously, I looked up to Antna, and then to get in the position to fight him so young and early, that's what it was. And for the 7 weeks I was fighting him, I wanted to kill him, mate. You know what I mean? That's just the way I was. You know what I mean? I wanted to rip his head off his shoulders. You know what I mean? But then, obviously, after the fight, if it didn't happen to me, the brain injury, or it did happen to me, I was always going to be friends anyway, mate. It's not, that's just the bad side of the business. And what happened to me, you never would have guessed it, mate. You know what I mean? Like, it was just what it is, you know what I mean? And in hindsight, I would have done everything exactly the same as I did it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And like I say, your sort of ambition when you were a fighter and the way you approached a fight, I saw you. I kind of get the feeling now that you're bringing that into your management and your promotional side of things, because I see how hard you work. I mean, you don't pester me, but as soon as you get a fighter signed, like, boom, Andrew, can you interview me? It's the ambition that you've got to get your young fighters out there, which I love to see. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I kind of want to, because I want to know if that's that same passion that you had as a fighter, do you still have that passion now that you're a manager and a promoter?
Oh, mate, I've got it more. I'll be honest. Like, when I had the bleed on the brain, my brother, obviously Nathan, he's boxing now as well, and he's 3-0, but he got very depressed and he couldn't watch boxing. And I was sat there, I remember sat there watching, I think it was ESPN, yeah. I was sat there watching some ESPN. It could have been Deontay Wilder or anyone early back in the day. And there was like some bad knockouts and that. And Nathan was squinting at it, like, walking, I can't, turning away. He couldn't watch it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I was like dead chuffed, like, that's a really good knockout, you know what I mean? I'm sat on my bed with my iPad and thinking that, watching these knockouts, thinking, I loved it even more, mate. It's like when something, like, when you can't have something but you really want it, like, you love it more. And I'll be honest, like, the work, what I do now, like, obviously, I was doing a lot of work with the schools when I first come out of the, when I opened the gym, I started training a lot of, like, deprived schools and stuff like that. And, I've done loads of work with them, and I've seen, like, the kids winning and stuff. I had one kid beat Tommy Fury, Brad O'Connell, he beat Tommy Fury, and it was massive, mate. And it boxing changes lives, you know what I mean? It changes lives, and it definitely has. The gym's, like, my gym there, it's changing lives all the time, you know what I mean? And, like, even the young Amy Timlin, she's, obviously, she's going to box for the Commonwealth title again in the rematch this summer. She's living at my mum's house at the bottom of the street from the gym. And it's changed her life, mate. The gym has changed her life. She loves the gym, you know what I mean? And it is for all the fighters. Like, the fighters, there's not one fighter who's ever come to the gym and thought, I'm getting bored of this. It's just fun, you know what I mean? So it's good.
That's the thing. What's that old saying that if you enjoy what you do, you'll never work a day in your life, sort of thing? Like, this is important for you. Yeah. This is passion, isn't it?
100%. Look, I'll be honest, and the way I work is, like, because I do like private training with, like, anyway, I do it with anyone, really. I do it with four-year-old kids and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So Caden's going to be a world champion, I'm telling you. He's a very good fighter. There's little Rihanna DeForo as well. She's been up, we actually went to Barcelona, didn't we, last week? Mm. Rihanna DeForo is a WBC ambassador, so she was exempt, she gets to come over with us, yeah. And I ended up taking her to a gym in Barcelona. A dad drove us over there, obviously, with Brian Rose fighting and that. And we went into an underground gym, yeah. So we went underground down the, we called the Gallego Prada gym, yeah. So we went down these steps and we're thinking that it was a bit rough, mate, yeah. And I organised sparring for Rihanna, but she's only 13 years old. She never actually had a fight. She had two skills bouts. She's not actually had a fight, you know, obviously, the pandemic and that. But I believe she's very good, mate. And she trains so hard. She's super dedicated. Anyway, what happened is we went downstairs. You warm up. And like, right, is your girl ready, Kieran? Like that. So we got her in. She was sparring with this 18-year-old elite, yeah. And I'm thinking, I were nearly bailing out. I was like thinking, nah, I've gone too far this time, mate. I've gone too far. This is child abuse. You can't do this, you know what I mean? Then I turned around and looked at Liam, her dad. And Liam was like giving me like the thumbs up. I'm like, yeah, sorry about that. So anyway, she got in there and she to be fair, mate, she held her own and she, like, she got the, I'd say she got the better of the sparring. She was very good, mate. And it's like I said to her dad, I said, look, that experience, like, it might, you put that down as 50 bouts over here, you know what I mean? Because it's good. But like that little moment's gonna change her life now, because she's gonna kick on from there. And you know, yeah, it's good, mate. You know what I mean? It's very good. I love boxing. I love it. I can't, even though it nearly ended my life, it sort of is my life, you know what I mean? And I feel like my life is owed to boxing, even though boxing, I don't know, mate. Like, people would say boxing owed me something, but it doesn't owe me nothing, mate. Boxing's I love boxing, and that's one thing what I'll always stand by, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm the same. I love the sport, and I consider myself lucky that I get to do what I do. I get to travel the world, speak to boxers, speak to fighters, and it's a passion of mine, and I can feel the passion from you as well. So the question is, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know your brother's a skillful southpaw.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He's a talented young fighter. I can remember watching him fight. I think it was a crawler fight. Was he fighting?
Yeah.
Back then, nearly 2 years ago, I think. 2 years ago, November. But for you, you've got a young stable of fighters, but who stands out for you then? Who stands out for you that's going to be that world champion?
It would be so unfair for me to pick a certain fighter. But, you know, like, it's like Ben Ridings, who was up against Jez Smith in November. Ben Ridings fought Jez Smith. We come out of COVID, so we both got COVID. We were meant to be in the boxer competition, and we only really trained for Zach Chelly because we thought he's the man to beat. And as I was right, he ended up winning it. So we both had COVID. I actually had no effects. I was all right, but Ben actually couldn't taste anything, or he couldn't hardly breathe and that. Anyway, I ended up getting out on the phone to Matchroom, and I said, look, I've got Ben Ryan. He's been sparring Callum Smith, obviously in preparation for the Canelo bout. And he went, we want to put a British fighter on. I'm like, put Ben Ridings' name forward. And he said, like, what about Jez Smith? I said, let's do it. So anyway, Ben Ridings, he's called the machine. He trains so hard, mate. And, you know, even though we got beaten.
I was in Gallagher's gym when I saw him spar Callum.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll be honest. He's up there. He's up there. What day is it? Saturday. He's up there on Monday again. Monday, Wednesday and Friday. He's going to be sparring with Marcus in preparation for Marcus's bout with Chris Eubank Jr. And Ben's a workhorse, and it'd be unfair for me to start pointing out who, what, and when, because then I've got Conor Lynch, who's 6-0, my brother. My brother's super skillful, and I'll be honest, all the fighters do is need a break. So all they need that break, and obviously they've got me pushing for them all the time, which is a good thing, and that's what young fighters need. And like Sean Yaxley today and Jerome Warburton, who've come up to the gym, that when they get that break, mate, they should be ready. And I've told them what I expect from them as well, is that I want them in the gym all the time. I don't want them ballooning up to 13 stone. That's no good. You know what I mean? You need to stay in the gym. And I went out to Spain with Brian Rose. We've got him a fight. He's got a massive fight coming up. I can't announce anything yet, but he's massive, mate. He's massive. Mate, he's massive. We're getting on a plane somewhere else, and we're gonna try and upset the odds, mate, and that's what it's about. And you know what? I'll speak to you off air about it, though, Andy, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But it's massive, mate, and all the lads see this, you know what I mean? And I've got connections now in Spain, obviously with Ricky Powell over there. He's helped me out massively. And Ricky has introduced me to a couple of promoters over there. So we're going to be doing I'm going to announce it now, a bit of an exclusive for iFilm London TV, that we're going to be doing a show in Spain June the 19th in Barcelona. It's Vicious Promotions in association with Team Soul, Ricky Powell. We're going over there, mate, yes. And the iFilm London's coming with us.
There
as
we
simple
go,
as that. You know, hey, I'll sort you the flights out. Don't you worry. That's it. Look. That's if we can fly. Because if not, we're going to be driving again, mate. It's simple as that.
We've got to do what we've got to do.
Exactly.
We've got to do it. Listen, if I can get over there, you know I'll get over there without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, 100%. Well, look, like I say, with Brian Rose, we couldn't fly out. So the loophole was, let's drive down the Eurotunnel. We drove 24 hours there, 24 hours back. He got his win. And now he's got a massive fight coming up. And I can't wait to announce that, mate. It's the next level stuff, mate. So, yeah, we'll keep pushing ourselves.
Hey, listen, Kieran, as soon as that fight is announced, I'll get you and Brian on a Zoom call again. We'll talk about it. But I want to just say, Vicious Promotions, as you call them. I can see you've got the T-shirt on there, Vicious Promotions. Your dream was to become a world champion, but what would it mean to you to have one of your own fighters that you've brought through from that grassroots level?
It means more. It means so much more to me. I'll be honest, like, it means so much more to me. It's like, boxing is a selfish game, and it's unfair for me to say, but I was a nasty little piece of work, you know what I mean? Like, when I was dieting and that, I'd stab you with my fork if you tried touching my plate, you know what I mean? I didn't want to be that person, because I'm actually a really nice person. I remember saying to my brother, one day, he said, I'm going to come and do some bag work. And I thought, oh, yeah, is it that easy? Is it just going to come and turn up and just do some bag work? And I thought, what am I starting on him for? You know what I mean? So for me to to be able to take one of these fighters who are managing now to take them to the top, mate, it means so much more to me than for me to do it. I don't want to do it for me. It's like Amy Timlin's fight. Amy Timlin's fight, what nobody knows is that I actually put a lot of money into that fight for her. We got the opportunity, and Dave Colwell got the opportunity for us. He's managing Amy, and I'm coaching her. And I put Amy with Dave because I know that Dave's a good guy, and he managed me. And I knew that I could get her that opportunity with obviously women's boxing being so big at the minute. And we watched it called. I got my own sponsors to fund that fight. We got it out there, and I'm like, I've never took a penny from any. For most of my fighters, they'll tell you I've not took a penny from most of them. I'm not asked about the money. You know what I mean? It sounds daft, but it's a business. I know it's a business, but look, the money will come when we get one of them little 8-year-old kids to turn into the next Katie Taylor or the next Anthony Joshua. That's when the money comes. But for now, I'm just happy living the experiences of these fights and that, and being able to get by in life. You know what I mean? Like, look, going over to Spain and that experience, what we had. It was second to none, you know. Like you couldn't write it, mate. We drove to Barcelona, and he had a fight and come back, and it's mad, you know what I mean. But I love it, you know. It's just part of the story, you know what I mean. So it's good.
Definitely, mate. I can actually feel the passion that you've got for the sport. But for you and Vicious Promotions and stuff like that. Finally, before I let you go in and spend the rest of your evening with another cup of tea there.
Yeah.
What's your ambition? What's your ambitions for Vicious Promotions at this moment in time? I know it's on you go, mate. Sorry.
Well, it's just. I mean, at the minute, obviously, I'm going to take it to Spain, so I'm going to take it to another country. Like, we're going to take it to Spain next. I've got a show lined up. I don't think the show is going to be back till around about September, the small shows. Mm-hmm. And that might be lucky if I can say that, you know what I mean? So, I mean, we're looking at doing Blackpool in September. I've actually got another signing to do tomorrow, which is it was the official sparring partner for Callum Smith when he fought Canelo, when it's Will Golder from Blackpool. I want to put that out there now because obviously we're on a big platform. Will Golder, I've signed Will Golder up. He's from Blackpool. He's a likeable lad. He's done the glory kickboxing and MMA and all that. He's a very good fighter, mate. He went there, and I'll be honest, it took him to spar with Callum Smith, and I was so surprised, mate. I thought he's an accident waiting to happen. He was walking in, unloading big shots, taking big shots, and I thought, wow, mate, you're going to get knocked out. And I actually said to Ed Harrison, who brought him up and said to me, he can fight. I said to Ed, I went, oh, he's going to get knocked out. It's sad to see this, you know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, he did so well, mate. He did so well. And Joe invited him back again. So he was the official sparring partner for the Canelo fight. And he can fight. So I would like to announce that. And we'll get him out in September, hopefully. And like I say, because I've got the Welsh lads as well, we'll take it to Wales in November, hopefully. And we'll just keep doing it, living these good, great experiences. Mate, and doing big things, and maybe, I don't know, in the future we'll have a couple of world champions.
Well, Kieran, listen, I've got nothing but respect for you, my man, and I really wish you nothing but the best. And I'm sure everything that you're thriving for, it will happen, because you're probably one of the hardest men I know in boxing right now at this moment in time, especially with the pandemic that's going on and stuff like that. So, like I said, I won't keep you much more of your time, but thank you so much for sharing your story and spending some time with me. So, mate, I appreciate that, man, and have a good evening, my man, and no doubt I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, top man, and thank you for the call, mate. I appreciate it. Top man.
Anytime, brother, anytime.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.